almost an hour after the mayor's wife's political event had ended. Thus, there was no possibility that they could have been attacked as a retaliation for attempting to protest that event. It had ended before they arrived, as the students had said from the very beginning. Three, the report shows that both municipal, state, and also federal police actively participated in the attacks against the students, not only monitoring, but once they were in Iguala, both state and federal, as well as municipal police, participated in the attacks against the students. The report also found that military intelligence officers were present at least two of the attack scenes. The report concludes that a confusion of the students with a supposed drug gang is an unlikely, if not absurd, scenario because of the massive scale, the complexity, the coordinated nature, and the escalating violence, disproportionate use of violence, all employed in the attacks against the students. Again, that we have municipal, state, and federal police actively participating in the attacks at nine different locations over more than 3 hours inside the city of Iguala, with the army watching all the time. The report also found that the federal government had systematically destroyed key evidence, two pieces that are very important. One, the video footage from federal security cameras that completely recorded one of the scenes of the attacks from which students were disappeared from a bus. That video was recovered and then destroyed by someone inside the government. Two, one of the buses, the key buses involved in the attack, what the experts are calling the fifth bus, was disappeared itself. That bus has not been located. When the experts asked to view that bus, they were presented with a different bus that had been made up to look like it. One of their
John, we have 10 seconds. How has the family responded, and will the Mexican government open a new investigation?
They will open a new investigation. The family has fully embraced the report and also denounced the government for torturing them. They said that this theory of the trash dump has been torture for us, and they are fully supporting the report.
John Gibler, I want to thank you for being with us. We'll continue to follow this story of the 43 missing students in Guatemala. That does it for the show in Mexico. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Carla Wills, Laura Gottesdiener, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield, Nermeen Sheikh, Sam Malkoff, Ravi Karan, Steve Martinez, Hani Massoud. I'm Amy Goodman. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. Thanks for joining us.
How are you? Wapin Jabba, Rude Sire, AP, Wagwan,
Just Cool Now,
Easy Jedi, ready?
Steady now,
come in.
Stony Brook Posse, wanna hear fresh. I wanna hear you say yes, I wanna hear you say yes. Long Island Posse, wanna hear fresh. I wanna hear you say yes, I wanna hear you say yes. So all those who wanna hear rockers, gonna hear some fresh.
Fresh music, yes.
All those who wanna feel IRA, have to feel fresh.
Fresh music, yes.
When the clock strikes seven on a Friday night, rocking iration gonna make you feel nice. WSB 90.1 FM.
On your FM, the Rastafari Cross Puppet and Easy Drip, they only bring you
fresh
Bluesman culture and reggae music to make you feel
fresh.
All those who wanna hear rock, gonna hear it
fresh.
Yes, yes, yes. Rockin' Iration, and yes, you can catch that on Fridays. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. That's 90.1 megahertz on your FM dial, and you can also tune in online. It uses this thing called the internet, WUSB.FM, and all the information there. You can get archives, you can get schedules, and you can also stream live. And you can listen to older shows, check out playlists, tons of stuff there, and also updates on things going on in the area. It is now 6:02 p.m. at the wonderful Stony Brook Studios here. And that means it's time for Off the Wall. I'll stop wasting time. Here we go. Thank you. Yes, this is Off the Wall. I'm your pilot tonight, and I'm joined by Emmanuel.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, you look great over there. Good to see you.
Thank you. I'm bathed in white LED light tonight, and that's kind of cool because it's really bright and it's LEDs, and we think that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And we started the show so early. We usually go about 5 minutes into the intro.
Yeah, we do.
Because we're setting everything up, but you know, tonight everything's working great.
Yeah, it looks like back to school. They've really gotten down to business here in the station, and yes, it looks great. We felt pretty good, and here we are. We're ready to go.
Ready, raring to go.
Happy Tuesday.
Well. Happy Tuesday to everybody. All kinds of things to talk about, and we're going to take listener phone calls. As God is my witness, we're going to take listener phone calls tonight. Write down the phone number, 631-632-6901. Write that down, and we'll let you know when we're going to take phone calls. Probably about, I don't know, the half-hour mark? What do you think?
I can do that.
All right, well, let's set an alarm.
Put that on the to-do list. And, yeah, God's your witness, huh?
As God is my witness.
And he'll testify.
Well, I don't know if I can bring him into court.
Or
but
she.
Whatever. The point is, why is it I make a phrase, everybody else makes, and I'm the only one that gets questioned about it?
Forget it. So.
All right. You hear about this latest news about a trucker who was choking on Dr. Pepper, and he crashed into 23 new cars.
Parked cars, right?
Well, okay, here's the story. This is kind of a weird company name, Herald A. It almost looks like a typo, because the A is capitalized. A Herald A milk tanker truck rests among new cars it crushed. I'm reading the photo caption, apparently, because it showed up as part of the news story.
Right.
When the driver lost control and drove off North Hermitage Road and into the Montrose dealership in Hermitage, Pennsylvania, on September 8th, 2015. And this photo was taken by Sandy Skarmack of the Herald. Let's look at the story now, though, not the photo caption. Now, police say the driver of a milk tanker truck was choking on a soft drink when he drove off a Pennsylvania highway and crashed into 23 new cars on a dealership lot. You know, if you're going to crash into 23 cars, that's probably the best way to do it. Just crash into a bunch of them on a new car dealership lot, because no one's going to get hurt. It's kind of funny. It's all going to be written off somehow. And it's sort of a cynical comment on today's society as well.
That's right.
Well, okay. They say the driver choked on Dr. Pepper. It's funny that they actually went to the trouble of finding out what kind of soft drink it was. Not that you were just choking. What kind of soft drink were you drinking when you started choking?
It wasn't a diet Dr. Pepper.
Well, he didn't say it was a diet Dr. Pepper. He could have covered that up. They may have inspected the truck and seen a can or something and just passed that on to the press. I don't know. But it's good that everything is being laid out here for our perusal. So anyway, he choked on Dr. Pepper on Sunday and drove the truck nearly 600 feet through a grassy area before smashing into a building at Montrose Buick GMC Cadillac. Although one of those they might not have any more of at the moment, but that's where you go to get new cars.
Or at least not in the color you want.
Yeah. The Sharon Herald, that's the name of the Herald, the Sharon Herald, reports the truck rumbled down an embankment before hitting the cars, which makes perfect sense, including one that was pushed into the dealership showroom. That's the one he wants. Pushed it right into the showroom. State police found no mechanical problems with the truck and no indication the driver tried to brake. Now, that's interesting. When you're choking, you don't try to brake. I wonder why. It must be some kind of instinctive thing. Wow. The driver of the truck is owned by... Not, I'm giving all the facts here, folks. Owned by Niemeyer Milk Transfer and...
Niemeyer, I think is how
that's pronounced. Neither one of us has heard of, and you're going to correct the way I pronounce it.
I'm pretty sure that's how it's pronounced. I think it's a national company.
Well, all of a sudden you know everything about milk transportation. All right, good. Okay. Niemeyer, you say?
Food grade tanker trucks.
Niemeyer Milk
with.
Transfer. All right. Yeah. Anyway, he was cited for careless driving because apparently choking on Dr. Pepper is considered to be careless. The Cedar Lake, Indiana-based company did not immediately return a phone call today. So that is the top story today, a truck driver choking on Dr. Pepper crashing into 23 new cars in Pennsylvania.
So has anybody checked to see if the driver was crying at all?
over spilled milk. Well, they didn't say anything about the milk being spilled. No, if you look at the picture here, which I read the photo caption too, you'll see that the truck is standing, and it just happens to be in the middle of a bunch of cars that were parked.
Well, maybe it was empty too. That's a possibility.
That's also possible, I suppose. Mm-hmm. No one mentioned that. I think that's kind of an important fact. If they're going to say the name of the soft drink, they should say, oh, by the way, it doesn't matter there was a milk tanker because it was just a big empty tube.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good point. No, yeah. It probably did have something in it, but who's to say? And gosh, the lesson there, folks, if you're out there and you have a nice beverage with you, be very careful. Or bring a straw.
Or why couldn't you choke on something drinking through a straw?
I don't know. It's less sloshing and air, and it's more... I don't know.
I almost swallowed a straw once, so it's not necessarily a safety device.
Okay, all right. Maybe a straw won't help you, but maybe refrain from taking a sip while you're actually in motion. You know, pace it for like maybe a stoplight or an exit or something.
But since you know so much about milk transportation,
I know about food grade tankers.
I have a question for you then. Why are they transporting milk like they're transporting fuel? Where do they pump up milk from a tanker truck? I mean, I'm used to seeing it coming in, in containers, cardboard or plastic or even glass.
Right, right.
But I've never seen a milk truck with a hose pumping up like a milk tank or something like that.
Right.
Where does that happen?
It's a really good question.
Thank you.
I'm going to go out on a limb here because I'm pretty good at coming up with theories of how things work. But my guess is you don't want the packaging of milk to be in the same place where the cows are. So what you do is collect it cows are.
Why don't you want... I'm not a farmer. So
for sanitary reasons. Okay. Seriously.
I think they bring it to another room.
It has to be processed. It has to be pasteurized. Right. Another thing is maybe it is handled near where the cows are in bulk. But as far as distribution goes, it's brought to... a packaging or bottling place in the area where the milk is actually going to be consumed. Does that make sense?
So you're saying that they get the milk out of the cows.
Yeah.
Do they pump it directly into the truck?
They collect it, I think, and maybe pasteurize it initially.
Because that'd be kind of weird to have a big tanker truck parked next to a bunch of cows that are being milked.
No, I think they would withdraw the milk from the cows. They milk the cows and probably store it all in containers. And then it's processed either on site or probably taken somewhere to be processed because it's whole milk, right?
Why don't they just take the containers in a truck someplace else and process it?
The containers of like individual milk jugs? Or what do you mean?
I guess whatever they put the milk in when they milk it from the cow.
Well, because it's whole when it comes from the cow, right? It's a raw bulk feedstock, right? So you have to process that, and you take it. It has to be pasteurized, right, for sanitary reasons, and then it has to be broken down into component products, just like crude oil is turned into various different petroleum products.
It has to be homogenized too.
That's a possibility, and the acidophilus. They have to bring the acidophilus.
No, I just remember growing up and seeing pasteurized, homogenized. I don't know what to this day, I don't know what homogenized means or how you do it.
And the buttermilk is a whole other process.
Well, yeah, that only comes from butter cows, right?
Yeah.
Not milk cows.
Yep.
But, all right, well, I'm learning more by the minute here, and that's really something. But if you do see a tanker truck going down the road, it might have milk in it and not gas, so just keep that in mind, folks.
Yeah, stainless steel is generally food grade because, well, it doesn't stain. Although fuel trucks tend to be stainless as well for other reasons, but there's usually they don't mix the two. Usually they're distinct tankers, and that's also distinct from chemical transport and other things.
One guy drinks Dr. Pepper and chokes and crashes into a car dealership, and look at how much we learn from that.
Yeah.
Everything, folks, is a teaching moment.
Yeah.
All right.
Actually, fuel trucks are probably like painted steel, but not stainless. But food is definitely stainless for sanitary reasons.
Well, you say that with such certainty that I'm not even going to try to debate that issue.
Hey, if you know about tanker trucks, please give us a call later on. We're taking calls half past the hour. This is Off the Wall, 631-632-6901.
Yes, but please put the Dr. Pepper down when you call us. We don't need the sound of choking on the air.
All right, what else you got?
Kim Davis. Kim Davis.
Kim Davis is
the name of the day. Everyone's talking about Kim Davis. What, you're not talking about Kim Davis? Do you know who Kim Davis is? Kim Davis, folks, couldn't be a more American-sounding name than Kim Davis. Well, yeah. It's kind of Korean-sounding, too, I guess. But Kim Davis is today's All-American-American because she was let out of jail and immediately went to a rally where I believe Mike Huckabee and Senator Ted Cruz were attending. Who is Kim Davis, you may ask repeatedly? She is the Rowan County clerk who was imprisoned for refusing to issue marriage licenses to gay couples. She was held in jail for 5 days, and today, at the order of a judge, she was released. Now, her defiance has made her a hero in the eyes of her supporters, which makes sense. Her supporters would be the ones that would consider her to be a hero. Mm-hmm. The escalating drama has also drawn the attention of two Republican presidential contenders, as I mentioned, Mike Huckabee and Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas. None of this should be surprising anybody. They rushed to the jail Tuesday morning, shortly before she was released. Now, she said, "I just want to give God the glory."
What?
The same God that is witnessing what I was saying before. Yeah, and she wants to give God the glory. It's all his fault. He told me to do it. She walked onto the stage as Eye of the Tiger blasted out on loudspeakers as the crowd cheered. Oh, who does Eye of the Tiger? Do we know this?
The Eye of the Tiger.
That's not what I asked for at all, Kyle. No,
I don't know. Bruce, no. Not Springsteen. No.
Wow, you're going to get a letter from Bruce Springsteen now. No, that's good.
I take that back. I rescind that.
You actually will get a letter from the boss now because
okay, this is
that
not,
is such an offensive
this
remark.
Is not a music show. I don't know anything about music.
Yeah, but
I'm looking
we both
up now.
Have done music before. All the knowledge
tiger.
Doesn't... Using the internet, wow.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, you typed your request...
Survivor.
Did you see what you did, though? You typed your request into the URL bar.
Oh, yeah, you can do that.
Into the Google bar.
Mm-hmm. Browsers are smart.
But for some reason, Yahoo... is our default, and Yahoo tried to answer your question.
Yahoo! Okay. The American rock band Survivor, released in 1982.
You know what's funny is I know the song. I don't know Survivor. That's kind of funny. All right. Let's get back on tangent here.
It was written at the request of actor Sylvester Stallone, who was unable to get permission of Queens. Another One Bites the Dust. What?
Wait,
okay, just...
Wait, no. Read that sentence out loud, please.
It was written at the request of Sylvester Stallone for Rocky III. And the sentence goes like this. Written at the request of actor Sylvester Stallone, who was unable to get permission for Queens. Another One Bites the Dust. The song was to be the theme song for the movie Rocky III, in which Stallone was playing the main role. Movie version of the song is different from the album version because it was demo version, and it also features tiger growls.
Okay, well, so he wanted to get Another One Bites the Dust from Queen.
Yeah.
For Rocky III. I didn't know this, and Queen wouldn't give permission.
I guess not.
Wow.
Good on them.
Yeah, no, I that would have been a totally different movie.
Safe respect.
I could see why he would want that, but so this song was commissioned.
Yeah.
Like Leonardo da Vinci or something.
For Sly... Sil Stallone.
Wow.
Not Sly Stone. Never mind. Okay.
Not Sly and the Family
Stone.
Yeah,
forget that.
No, definitely not. Okay. God was given the glory as she walked onto stage. Eye of the Tiger was blasting out. Keep on pressing. Don't let down because he is here.
Mm.
Oh, okay. So those people asking, where is God? He was in Kentucky today. He was in Grayson, Kentucky. He was in the audience of this little rally that Kim Davis had upon her release.
Well, God is in all of us. He...
Well, not today. He was in Kentucky. Before introducing her, Huckabee called Davis a representative from God. That's a lot of God speak going on out there. She's a representative
code.
From God, yes, yeah, sent to lead the charge against judicial tyranny.
Uh-huh.
And he goes on, he takes the ball and he runs with it. God showed up, Huckabee said. He showed up in the form of an elected Democrat named Kim Davis. Yes, she's a Democrat. Did you know that? Did you know she was a Democrat?
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's,
she's a Democrat.
That's brilliant.
In Kentucky, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You could be a socialist in Kentucky. You're still going to be a right-wing hick.
Mm.
I said it. Yeah. I'll get less letters than you will for that Springsteen remark. Davis was jailed at the Carter County Detention Center on Thursday after she refused to comply with a court order that she issue licenses to same-sex couples. The following day, her deputies began issuing the documents in her absence. And as a condition of her release today, U.S. District Judge David Bunning ordered Davis not to interfere with the issuing of marriage licenses by her office. Now, that's kind of hard because one of the people doing that is her son. He works in the office with her, and I have a feeling she might have some guidance for him as to what he should be doing and not doing. And I don't think he's one of the people that are issuing licenses anyway. Kim Davis cannot, will not violate her conscience, her attorney said outside the jail, with Davis by his side, asked if that meant Stewart refused to issue licenses. He promised that people would find out in the near future. Boy, that sounds like a bit of a promise. He added, by the way, in case...
Wait, could you read that last part again?
Asked if what he said about her not violating her conscience meant that she would refuse to issue licenses. He promised that people would find out in the near future.
Okay, yeah. So guns are being stuck too, it sounds like.
It sounds
we
like
don't
they're,
know.
They're okay. Riveted to her side.
Oh, boy.
He added, in case this was not clear, mm-hmm. she loves God.
Yeah.
She loves people.
Mm-hmm.
She loves her
work.
Wait,
except queers, right?
Don't be difficult.
Oh, this she loves them, so she's protecting them from themselves.
Here.
Okay, got it.
She loves people more than they love themselves.
Sure. Okay.
She loves God, she loves people, she loves her work, mm-hmm. and she will not betray any of those three.
Except if they're queers.
Well, no, because they're betraying themselves, you see. And she knows better. She's
right.
With God. God was there today.
Oh,
God.
Oh no! Oh,
God
you're right.
There.
You're right. I'm sorry. You know.
He's at
you're
the
right.
after party right now.
No. Okay? I get it. It didn't click, but now I got it. Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense.
Shortly after emerging from the jailhouse, Davis barely spoke.
Uh-huh.
But when asked whether spending 5 days in custody was worth it, she smiled and nodded her head yes. So maybe some more will be arranged for her.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, this is something, you know, I don't get this. I really don't get it. Yeah, she was elected to do a job.
Right.
And part of the rules of that job have been altered somewhat because things do change, you know, like, for instance, on January 1st, you have to start issuing things with a different year on them.
Mm-hmm.
Some are small changes, some are big changes. But it's her job. Her job is to follow what the rules are, and the rules change. And if you can't follow that, then you should not do that job. You should do something else, regardless of whether or not you're elected. You know, what if she suddenly said that, the office is no longer in the county building. It's in my kitchen. Well, if she says that, you know,
mm-hmm.
because she's the county clerk, because she got elected,
right.
does that mean that anything goes? She can just make up whatever rule she wants to do? No, it doesn't. You know, and if she can't fulfill her responsibilities, which have been changed by all legal means, then that's not the job for her. Anyone else can do this, you know, and people have been found to be unworthy of jobs they've been elected for in the past, and this is another instance of that. I don't know why we're giving her such attention, such importance. Push her aside, have somebody else do the job, you know, change the locks on the door. You know, it's all legal because the law changed, and if she doesn't want to follow the law, that's on her.
Yeah, people get fired for being late 3 times in, you know, a row or not even in a row at all. I mean,
but they're not elected representatives. That's what they're clinging to here, is that she was elected by the people. And the people are out there all clamoring for her as well.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't matter because the law changed. And there's people that will clamor for all kinds of horrible things.
But what if it was the other way? What if it was a queer county clerk?
A queer county clerk.
How do you say that five
wow.
times?
Wow.
Queer county clerk. Queer county clerk.
I'm not going to say it 5 times. I'm probably not ever going to say it again.
Refusing to issue straight people.
That would be wrong. Don't you think that would be wrong?
Right.
I think people would get that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they would be outside, you know, trying to get that person removed for not doing their job, which is exactly what's going on here.
A better example,
mm-hmm.
her kid,
yeah.
Billy, 8
mm-hmm.
years old,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if she has a kid, got bitten by a dog, and mm-hmm. now she's not going to be issuing any dog licenses anymore. She doesn't believe in dogs. So if you have a dog and you're in this county, she's not going to issue a license. And what, can she just do that? No, I think there'd be more of an uproar for her not issuing dog licenses than her not issuing gay marriage licenses. I'm not sure that's her job as well, but I assume it is.
I don't think we should compare queer people to
dogs. I'm not doing that.
No,
I'm comparing her.
No queer people bit her either.
I'm comparing her level of stupidity to another level of stupidity
right.
that she's well capable of.
Uh-huh.
But it's just absurd. I don't know what all the fuss is when you have people that are bigoted and, mm-hmm. and ignorant. You move them aside and you replace them with people that actually get it. Regardless of who tells you you're wrong, the law is not on her side.
At all, federally, like it's like she didn't get the memo or something.
Right. It's like Obama was elected, but everything Obama says is wrong. If you watch Fox News,
Right.
He says the sky is blue. The sky is not blue.
Mm-hmm.
The sky will be any other color, but not blue if he says it, because he's the president and he was elected and they don't like him. And so he's always going to be wrong. And Congress will vote against him if it's a Republican-led Congress. So, you know, there's all kinds of ways of doing this, all kinds of legal ways, too. And the legal ways were basically satisfied here. So this should not even be happening.
Yeah, it's like a non-issue, and it's being turned into a horse and pony show for the politicians, right?
And her being sent to jail is the best thing that could happen to her, because it wins her so much support.
She's a martyr now.
Well, right? There are probably people in that crowd right now, and I think God might be one of them, because he's easily misled, that believe in her but don't believe in her cause. I say, if someone's willing to go to jail for their principles, I admire that. Even if I don't admire the principles, I admire the conviction.
Mm-hmm.
But in my view, clearly she's wrong, and it should be irrelevant. She should be moved aside, and we should just get on with things. Of course, they're saying now that because she hasn't signed any of the gay marriage certificates that have gone out.
They're trying to say.
Yeah. Well, her lawyer is saying this. Uh-huh. And I think it's a bit out of bounds for him to be saying this. He's saying they're not worth the paper they're written on. You know, first of all, they'd have to be worth at least the paper they're written on. But
yeah, technically that doesn't really.
That makes no sense at all. Like, he's saying basically that paper gets degraded
when you write
if you write something gay on it. You know,
right.
That, which I think is a bit out of bounds. I just did.
Wow.
But I mean, come on, you're basically goading the judge there, and judges are easily miffed.
Yeah.
And this judge, I think, is not going to tolerate that kind of nonsense. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But I think it's an easy solution. Just, you know, make her irrelevant, replace her with somebody else. Legally, it can be done.
Yeah. Interesting. Very cool. We'll follow the coverage, of course. And just a little back-to-school tip for everybody. If you've been celebrating all the wonderful changes that have been happening around these issues, it might be a little short-sighted, because the world is still catching up.
Well, lots of the world is still catching up. And this is only one planet, too.
Yeah.
And we don't know how conservative the other ones are. But it's also been an incredible week as far as refugees and migrants.
Yeah, there's been interesting stuff going on there, and interesting ways of handling it.
Yeah, yeah.
And man, it's fascinating. What do you got?
Well, I mean, I've just basically been watching a lot of Euronews and BBC. And,
yeah.
And by the way, folks, if you get Cablevision, watch Euronews Channel 103. That's the best way to see what's going on with this. Biblical. If you want to bring the religion into it, this is a biblical exodus of people. Right, and it's probably a lot less people back in Bible times because they didn't have as many people. But just to see entire populations moving from country to country by foot, and either being welcomed or attacked, depending on what country they wind up in, it's simply staggering. And it's a shame this is not the top story everywhere, because it is humanity's top story, I think.
Yeah.
So basically, what's been going on is a lot of refugees have been leaving Syria, and it's best if you look at a map when you see what's going on here, because you can see how they're moving through Turkey and Greece and going up through the former Balkans, through Macedonia, former Yugoslavia, Macedonia into Serbia, and then crossing over into Hungary. So weird what happened in Hungary, because they were massing outside the train station in Budapest, a station we hung out in. When was that? That was just earlier this year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was one of our last trips when we were overseas, I think in the winter.
Yes.
So we made a couple jaunts after Congress in Hamburg and made our way to Slovakia.
And I loved Budapest. I really did.
We had a great time.
Great city. Things are cheap. But, you know, of course, that we're saying that from our perspective. When you live there in Hungary, it's a much poorer country.
Yes.
And basically what happened with all these refugees showing up who got there by somehow crossing over from Serbia, I didn't know it was so easy. Every time we go into these countries, there's pretty strict border checks.
I love that we've been to pretty much every single one of the countries that's in the news, and we've been across all these borders and pretty much all these train stations.
Haven't been to Syria.
Except Turkey.
And Syria. We haven't gone to Syria.
Or the former Yugoslavian Republic of Greece.
Yes, yes. More letters are on their way. But really good travel deals in Syria. I meant to bring some clippings in, but I'll show you those later.
Okay.
So, all these people are, these are entire families. They've paid an immense amount of money to smugglers, and horrible things have happened to many of them as a result. And, of course, there's also refugees coming from North Africa as well.
Mali.
They wind up in Italy, and there's a whole other story involving them. But this week, mostly, it was about the Syrian refugees that were crossing over. So they make it to Budapest, and the Hungarian authorities will not let them board trains that take them to their desired goal of Germany. And you might ask, and I was asking this, they're already in the EU. You know, why does it matter at this point? Because they wanted to escape. They've escaped. They're in the EU. They should be happy. But apparently, there's a couple of things here. First of all, Hungary doesn't want them. And that kind of affects your happiness level if you're in a place that doesn't want you. And also, there aren't nearly as many opportunities there. As we mentioned, it's a poorer country. So they want to go where they're welcome and where there are opportunities. And Germany seems to be the best bet. But the weird thing is that the Hungarian authorities would not let them out of Hungary, would not let them out of Budapest, in fact. Well, that's not true. They wouldn't let them onto the train. Apparently, the refugees could wander all around Budapest, and eventually they wound up walking on a highway towards the border with Austria.
Yeah, they were starting to make a journey by foot, and that's when they started getting buses coordinated and realizing, basically, let's get them to the border so that they leave, otherwise they're going to continue to amass here in the station here in downtown
Budapest.
Budapest.
Yeah.
Well, I almost said Baghdad, then Belgrade.
Well, you didn't go to Bucharest either.
No.
So, but it's really, the Hungarian authorities at that point, when they saw all the refugees walking en masse, wheelchairs and babies, going down a major highway, walking to another country, that's when they reached the conclusion, this is not good for our image.
At all.
So that's when they sent some buses. And the refugees didn't trust the buses when they first showed up, because the Hungarian authorities tricked them before. They said, oh, yeah, get on this nice train, it'll take you all the way to Germany. And it took them to a camp instead, and not the happy kind of camp, a refugee camp where they were supposed to all be registered. Now, this is the thing that Hungary was trying to do, was register everybody. You're supposed to register at the country you first enter.
It's their duty as an EU member.
Yeah, but apparently also by doing that, they wind up in squalid conditions, and there's a much greater chance they could be kicked out, whereas if they just go directly to Germany, it would be a much happier resolution. So they sent these buses. A lot of people refused to get on them, but eventually they did, and the buses did take them to the border with Austria, and they all, well, a lot of them crossed. This is still happening. People are still showing up in Budapest and crossing the border with Serbia. Hungary is building a barbed wire fence with Serbia now to prevent people from crossing over. Now, you know, here it's funny because in America, we're so worried about Mexicans.
Mm-hmm.
We're obsessed with Mexicans crossing our border. Look how it is in other parts of the world, in Europe, where people are just crossing. And when they cross, they're not just sent back. They have to do something about it. It's called, giving people asylum, place to live, something. You have an obligation, and the EU seems to take that seriously. Of course, different countries take it at different levels of seriousness. Countries like Hungary and Slovakia, Poland, not really into this at all. In fact, I think it was Poland, might have been another country, I'm not sure, I said that they would only accept Christian refugees.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, a lot of ignorance there. But you notice it tends to happen on the less prosperous nations, the former Eastern Bloc nations, the ones that are closest to the border of EU Russia and the rest of the world. Yeah, so it's really kind of disturbing to see that. But the positive thing that came out of all this was the way Germany reacted.
Mm.
And that was something. I was watching that on Euronews, and it was really moving to see all these people in Germany greeting the refugees as they arrived from trains that were talking about whole families, little kids.
All ages of German volunteers.
You didn't see protesters. You didn't see people saying, you're going to take my job or anything silly like that. You saw people handing out food and giving them hugs and just saying welcome. And I remember one thing that they said. This might have actually been said in Austria. They just said, you're safe now. You're safe. Do you know what that means to somebody who has been through the hell of Assad, the hell of ISIS or ISIL, whatever? and the hell of traveling.
Budapest. No, I'm just all kidding.
Budapest, no. Budapest is a great place, but not very friendly to these guys.
Uh-huh.
But to go through this horrible thing and to not know if you're going to make it safely and then to hear those words, that is something worthy of recognition. And I think, you know, the last couple of days have been Germany's proudest days, maybe in their history, and something we can all take notice of. Angela Merkel is saying they can accept 500,000 refugees a year.
No. She bumped the number up. It's 800,000.
800,000.
They're expecting 800,000 this year.
You know, I'm even thinking, wow, that really is going to change the makeup of Germany. And she said that as well. She said, this is going to change our country, but it's our obligation. Yeah. Wow. I mean, that, to me, that is admirable. Yeah. And you know I don't agree with Angela Merkel on most things, but you have to recognize when somebody does something like that, and you have to say, how can we do something like that as well? This is what really gets me upset. The United States pretty much caused all of this. We created ISIL, ISIS, what do you call them?
Daesh.
That's the coolest one.
Daesh.
Why do you call ISIL, ISIS, Daesh? What do you call
Daesh? It's the Arabic, I think.
That's the Arabic word for it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think.
Daesh.
Or pronunciation. I don't know if it's a word.
You should check that.
It could be several words.
Well, you could copyright it, probably.
Daesh.
Yes. Speaking of copyright, folks, anyone tuning in wanting to hear us talk about what happened today with 2600 and us getting threatened for having ink splotches on our one of the covers of our magazine.
Extorted upon, you mean?
we're not talking about that on this show. We're going to talk about that on the show tomorrow,
off
the hook. So look forward to that. But and if you don't know what we're talking about, go to our website, www.2600.com, look for the story about the ink splotches, and you'll have a good laugh. But no, we're talking about the refugee crisis. And so the United States created this mess by destabilizing the entire region, and we're not talking about accepting hundreds of thousands of refugees that I can see, and we should be. We should be, because we have an obligation too. We didn't have to do all those horrible things that we did, having two wars over there and three wars actually, and causing innumerable amounts of just destabilization and bloodshed and all that, and strengthening organizations like Al-Qaeda and ISIS or whatever, and just creating the situation where these people have to flee. So, there's a cost to that in addition to the cost of human lives of our own that we've spent, that we had to pay. And that's something we really need to talk about.
One question I would have, do you think proximity is playing into this as far as our contributions?
We're a heck
of a lot further away than some of these countries.
We are certainly
not walking distance.
Definitely not walking distance, but there's many flights. And you know, if nothing else, we should be supporting the efforts. We should be there helping in some way, in Europe, helping the situation, or just figuring out ways to be more involved. Because all I'm hearing this from U.S. officials. It's Europe's obligation. You know, this country telling Europe what its obligation is to clean up a mess that we created. That's the ultimate irony, I think. So I just hope that. And, you know, whenever you hear people talking about it here, like that moron Peter King, elected official, true, but, man, he's always the one that is commenting on these issues and always saying the most ignorant things, saying how, we can't really take Syrians because there's a threat that there's going to be a terrorist that gets in. And most of them probably are good people. Really, that's such an enlightened outlook. Most of them are probably good people. Well, okay, this is something that people in Europe, in the enlightened places in Europe, have not been stymied by. They see a humanitarian crisis, and they act like humanitarians, not like paranoid, guilty people that are afraid that something's going to catch up to them. So that's the difference, I think. Refugee crisis of an unparalleled nature. In fact, they say this is the biggest refugee crisis since World War II, skipping over the entire Balkan crisis, the multiple wars that took place in the 90s, it's that big. So I think that's pretty huge. You're looking something up there, Kyle.
Yeah, I was looking at the rankings of who has accepted refugee populations versus total population.
Oh yeah, that's an interesting proportion.
Where we rank
I know Lebanon is pretty high up on that list.
Because somewhere on the radio I had heard someone saying that the U.S. had accepted, or some other country was second only to the U.S. as far as accepting refugees in a year. But I can't really find that right now. What I'm looking at is a listing of the total population of refugees in the country of asylum. So we're 12th on that ranking, and that's out of 321 million, we have 264,000.
Okay.
Pakistan seems to be number one.
Okay, we didn't know that, I don't think.
Yeah, they have 182 million people, and they have about 2.6 million in their refugee population.
So the proportion of refugees to the existing population is the highest in Pakistan.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's about one... There are 70 natives per refugee. Oh, that's backwards of what I wanted to say, but yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. And a bunch of other countries ahead of us as well. I see Jordan is up there. Turkey.
Syria.
How is Syria up there? Who's... What refugee goes to Syria?
I shouldn't laugh.
Well, no, it is kind of bizarre.
Well, it does say it doesn't not account for recent events.
Well, how old is that list?
I don't know. Anyway, forget it.
All right.
What else you got?
Syria, Lebanon. Do I see Iran on there? Kenya, Germany,
yeah. Iran,
Chad,
sixth.
And China. Wow. And Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. Kind of surprising. And, well, facts sometimes are kind of surprising.
We could do better. I mean, what would it take for us to send a silly cruise ship over there and take people on a nice cruise, you know, a little refugee cruise, and they can park right off Kentucky if they're even close to the sea.
I don't know, Kyle.
And then Kim Davis can register all of them.
Have you
single-handedly from jail.
You know, give her a new job doing that. That would be nice. But I, you know, reading the headlines recently about some of the horror stories on cruises, I'm not sure I'd want to do that
today. Yeah, actually, that could be a bit more dangerous than Syria right now.
Also, I'm not sure where the ship would port, you know, where we'd pull into port.
Kim Davis's garage.
Yeah, maybe. Should we go into delay? Because we did say on the half hour, and we're 10 minutes past that, and we did kind of promise that we were going to try to take phone calls, and I do like to keep my promises.
Yeah.
Unlike elected officials.
So I got to get into the right mode here. All right,
well,
I wasn't all the way ready, but
getting into the
I
mode,
think I'm ready.
Let me give out, well, that's quick. Let me give out the phone number you should call, which is 631-632-6901. We'd like to hear from you.
Yes, we would. Please call.
This is Ellis Paul, and you're listening to the commercial-free airwaves of 90.1 FM WUSB Stony Brook.
And we should be in delay now.
Yeah, I think we are in delay.
Yep.
A little crackly delay, but
it's okay.
that's just for us to hear. But I think it sounds okay. Yes.
Okay.
Again, 631-632-6901. That's our telephone number. Do we have a telephone? Oh, good. We have a telephone, too. How nice. So all we are missing is a phone call.
Okay. We've got our first call. Hello. You're on Off the Wall.
Yes. Hello, sir.
Hi there. How's it going?
Okay. I love your couple of your lines tonight. They were really good.
Oh, thanks.
Especially in the color that you might not want.
we rehearsed vigorously before the show, so yes.
We got to keep it lighthearted. What's your question? What do you got? A comment for us?
Oh, I can't believe you can't get the milk tanker thing. Each operation in farming is one big agribusiness onto another.
Uh-huh.
Farmers have enough work getting the cows to milk.
Right,
and
right.
And then the processing plant pasteurizes that the tankers take the truck from the milk from
raw feedstock
farm, if it's a large enough farm, but
sure.
A smaller farm, they may truck it to the processing plant, and then from there it'll go into a packaging plant. The days of bottles are kind of gone, so they used to do it all in the same place, but now they kind of break it up into different locations.
So the tanker truck goes from where to where?
From the tanker truck will take it from the farm to the processing plant, or from the processing plant to a packaging plant.
I see.
Would trucks go to multiple farms if they were smaller ones, or are there specific trucks for that?
They could.
But mainly, you're on a schedule for your farm this day of the week.
They could have. Those things don't exactly load up in 5 minutes either. So,
yeah.
they can have a regular schedule. The farms are, you know, kind of spaced apart, some of those larger dairy farms.
Are you a farmer yourself?
No, I went to school in the state of New York ag system, and, you know, after the cow stepped on my foot. In fact, I was spreading cow manure in my garden when you were going through this, and I couldn't stop laughing.
You know, we've been referred to as that. I don't think I've ever called up who has been spreading it. What was it like to have a cow step on your foot?
Oh, my gosh. I wanted to change majors right away.
Wow.
Where are you calling from today, sir?
Patchogue.
Oh, great. Great. Well, awesome. Great. Good to hear that you're out in the garden. But do be careful out there. Gardens can be treacherous.
I know. All right, let's go.
All right, great. Hey, thanks for the call.
Bye.
USB listeners always adding more detail to
that's
anything
great.
You say.
That is... Oh, I'm sorry. If I just hung up on you accidentally, please call back. Yeah. What were you saying? Yes, well, that's great. They always have insight. I'm really, really impressed with our listeners.
How are gardens dangerous places?
Honestly,
warning people against going into gardens?
No. I was over at a Stony Brook clinic of sorts because I'm actually recovering my hand, right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
They had a whole bulletin board about lawnmower safety and gardening safety. I didn't walk up and actually look at it, but apparently there are a lot of things you can do in the garden to really mess up your hands. And I saw it from across the room, but I didn't actually walk up to it. Lawnmower safety was kind of a no-brainer because that really can get ugly if you're not careful.
Hey, I almost chopped my finger off on a lawnmower when I was a kid. Yeah. was adjusting adjusting the height of the lawn while it was still on. I figured, why should I turn it off?
Oh, of
and
course.
Then I learned why I should. But the funny thing about that was I was so intent on not getting into trouble for slicing the top of my finger off, or it was hanging over. I just crammed it back. It was sort of like microsurgery, and put like a Band-Aid around it and just pushed really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what it took? It worked. See, my finger is right here. I'm showing it to you right now.
Okay, you can put that finger away.
All right, I'm sorry. It just happens to be that finger. I don't mean to wave it in your face quite like that.
No.
I'm
used to it. That's pretty much
shaking it at you right now. So you definitely
how we
can
talk
see it.
Normally.
Yeah. So it sounds a little bit of a bump, but. But you know that was I was lucky. You might not be so lucky, so don't play with lawnmowers anywhere.
Hey, there's never a bad time to go over your first aid kit. Buy some Band-Aids, fill that bad boy up, and
they can
throw
be dangerous
some,
too. Though,
throw some super glue in there. Maybe you can glue some things back together.
Do not eat super glue.
Or get one of the human staplers, whatever it is. But be careful out there and enjoy it. Enjoy the sunshine. It's gardening is fantastic. Being out there with the plants and everything.
But you didn't get to the thing. Yeah, I know about lawnmowers being dangerous.
Sure.
What's dangerous in the garden?
I didn't actually walk up and read it, but there was a highlighted section in the middle that I think would have been hilarious to read. I don't know if it was in relation to the other sheet about lawnmower safety, but apparently, I'm sure you know tools. You know, you could hurt yourself. Not using the hand tools properly, or maybe twist your ankle on a hole that you didn't see.
I saw this on Green Acres once, where someone stepped on a rake and it like hit them on the side of the head.
No, that was Looney Tunes, I think.
Well, I think it's been in a lot of documentaries.
Okay,
Do we have any phone calls? 631-632-6901. Is anyone out there?
Not yet.
I'm asking. Oh, so I have a rhetorical question. Okay. We only have a few minutes left, so no matter where you are, no matter what part of the world you're in. We'd like to hear from you. And, of course, the country code is 1.
Yeah, we made this time especially for you. It is now 6:46 at WUSB Stony Brook. You're listening to Off the Wall with Kyle, and I'm joined by my colleague here.
It took you a long time to come up with a word, but yeah.
Emmanuel,
I'm here over on the other side of the room.
Well, I didn't want to say other things, co-host. It gets too murky. We're your hosts.
We are.
Off the wall?
And I guess that makes our listeners the guests, right?
Well, sure.
Yeah, everybody's a guest. We have infinite amount of space here, so anyone can call in and be part of that.
That's right.
If the phone is not ringing at this moment, I'm going to start reading a letter.
Yeah, go ahead and read that. 631-632-6901.
Hi, Kyle and Emmanuel. I was listening to your show on the 2600 podcast from last week. I thought you may like to know about real radio that still has real significance. You may or may not know that the Burning Man Festival was on a couple weeks ago. San Francisco hippies and crazy people and all that. But there is a real radio station that is associated with the Black Rock City that is built in the desert. It's called BMIR 94.5, Burning Man Information Radio. It broadcasts in the desert in Nevada as well as live on the web. And this year the announcers were also on IRC. So those of us who were not at the event but watching the webcam or listening to BMIR online could chat, make requests, put out calls to people on the site, etc. Great use of radio plus internet. Thanks, Neil, for that information. And please write to us, otw@2600.com.
I believe they're called burners. Hello, you're on WSB.
Oh, awesome. Still taking calls.
Yeah, we are. How's it going? You have a question or a comment for us?
Manuel? Yeah, I wanted to talk about like the whole... whatever that silly woman's name is that didn't want to sign the marriage certificate.
Oh,
and
you can say it.
Like calling her an American
Kim,
hero
Kim
now.
Davis. Kim Davis. That's a name that will live in infamy.
It's just ridiculous. It almost, not to potentially state the obvious, but it seems like a shadow of when you're watching TV and you hear people talking about Trump and they're like, Trump just says what's on his mind, which I consider to be a euphemism for supporting racism.
Right.
I don't know how commonly received that is, but it's just like this weird loathing movement, I guess you would call it.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Everybody's like, oh, I identify with the person who's the most angry or who doesn't like people that are darker than me. And
I think actually what you're speaking to, what we call this in sociology, perhaps, I don't know, we could ask some people, it's a backlash. So basically when you have progress in certain areas, you get backlash. You get people that feel that somehow they're being they're a victim of progress somehow, and then they act in defiance in some way, and it gets perverted into freedom somehow.
And they say phrases like "I'm not a racist," but and then follow that with the most racist thing you could imagine.
Right.
Yeah, I can see that to like itemization and not feeling as comfortable with your status, or I'll dare say the term white privilege. Like, for example, I'm on the subway this weekend. There was a festival in this local area.
Uh-huh.
And some kids that are probably under 21,
mm-hmm.
they're all white kids. They're on there chilling. They're yelling, like cussing, singing mm-hmm. chants, and drinking beer on public transportation.
Right.
And I'm sorry, but I'm pretty sure everybody's going to agree, if you had a little bit of a tan or an actual dark skin pigment, that would not fly whatsoever.
Yeah.
If you're lucky.
You're held to a different expectation, right? Or a lot more slides when, you know, you're a WASP.
Oh, they're just kids. They're just yelling. That's no problem.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah just yeah. like the kids that turn over cars when their football team loses. And then the people that actually are marching for justice and raising their voices a little bit. Which one are we more afraid of?
Depends on how you shoot the scene.
Yeah.
Right, right. Hey, thanks a lot for that. And mind if we ask where you're calling from?
Oh, yeah, Philadelphia.
Oh, great. Hey, awesome. So the stream's working. That's awesome. And we'll keep listening. And hey, call back if something else comes up or you hear something we're talking about on a subsequent show. But great to hear you.
Thank you. Take it easy.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Wow, good good callers tonight. Do we have time for any more, or what does that clock say?
Yeah, we got 9 minutes. Should we talk about where we visited?
Oh, yeah, you know, we're talking about real radio.
I think, yeah, you kind of segued right into that. Go ahead.
Well, that was my intention to segue right into that.
Uh-huh, because you're all pro.
I do try. we found ourselves walking around the town of Riverhead to the east.
We sure did.
It's a fun place to walk around, a lot of little hidden nuggets, and this is a place I always wanted to go to. They have a radio station there called WRIV. It's an AM station, I think 1390 AM. And it's I knew it would be a place where people that got radio would be, and so we just basically walked into the building and found it, and
it's on the third floor.
It's on the third floor. I had a nice chat with the people there, and wow, it's just I thought places like this didn't exist anymore. I've been programmed to believe that, but here's a place that does actual live broadcasts themselves from Main Street, literally from Main Street. They play old standard music, which I think, and I said this to them, I think standards sound really good on AM radio. There's something about it.
It matches the medium.
It brings you back. And, you know, like people remember WNEW back in the day. They used to broadcast that kind of music at 11:30 a.m. in New York City before they got taken over by business radio.
Yeah.
It's just really cool to connect like that. And these guys, they actually have equipment that's as old as our equipment,
yeah.
Except that it functions really well, and they really take care of it, and the building isn't falling apart. It's just really cool to see radio people and to realize that, you know what, a lot of what we're told is not true. Radio people are everywhere. People are listening to radio everywhere. They have a good listenership, even with, I don't mean any offense by this, a cruddy AM signal, because after 20 miles, you can't really get this station. At night, they sign off. And I think that's cool, too, signing off at night. But they have their listenership. When we were in Canada, we were hearing all kinds of imaginative uses of AM radio. Right. We were hearing people doing bingo games and reading lost dog reports, which is something they do at WRIV as well.
Or having classified ads.
Classified ads, all kinds of cool things.
Yeah.
Your imagination is the only thing that is a limiter here.
Especially when you're trying to shove things to fit a certain model. Well, it's got to fit this business model.
Yeah.
I mean, community radio, that's never really applied to. And this, in fact, is a commercial station, but
it is.
They use local ads.
Local ads.
So they're essentially community-based because there's no national, no even regional underwriting, really. It's all local.
Mm-hmm.
So to call them a private station, I mean, they're private, but it's all local advertising anyway, and it's great because it fits the format, but it essentially makes them deeply rooted in the community and dependent on that.
Absolutely. And we were talking to a bunch of people there about ownership of radio stations, and they got it. They knew organizations like Clear Channel or whatever they've renamed themselves to. They're the threat. They're the ones that are homogenizing everything and basically dumbing it down. And I just asked innocently, but who owns you guys? And he pointed to the guy down the hall. He does. This guy there owns the state. The person we were just talking to, who was showing us around, didn't even mention that he was the owner. In fact, I asked if we could take some pictures. And I said, I don't want to get you in trouble. And I said, oh, don't worry about that. He was the owner of the station. Of course, he's not getting in trouble.
Right.
But that's that kind of beauty of broadcasting, I think, is really, really awesome. And it exists everywhere. It's not even the only station like that on Long Island. And there are probably stations that exist in different parts of the country that are just as amazing. Maybe they play the hits. Maybe they do talk. Maybe they play country music. It doesn't matter. As long as it's local and something that people listen to in times of crisis, it's doing a very needed service, I think.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
It was a heck of a kinship too. They definitely recognized us as soon as we started talking about some of the stuff we do and things we're involved with. They're really a great community in their own right. But it was great to relate like that.
There were people there that did shows here actually. that had been on the air in WUSB. They knew about Pacifica, and you realize that people on radio know everything about other stations as well.
Everything that's going on, the latest and the greatest, of course.
So we need to pop out of delay now. Forgive us. Let's not step on ourselves. Do you remember how to do this, Kyle? You got to switch your headphones and then turn down your microphone, then bring your microphone up in the other channel, and then you won't step on yourself.
Okay. And then I seamlessly come back into your ears, and I bring my good friend Emmanuel, and
I made it.
Are none the wiser.
Yes, I made it too. Wow, cool.
I can still hear the
Why
delay
still
somehow.
Hear us? We're not in delay anymore.
I'm going to turn the delay down.
That's so weird.
All right. So, well, and here we are. Ladies and gentlemen, that's about all the time we have.
That's all she wrote. OTW@2600.com is our email address. And we'd love to hear from you. If you can put your fingers on a keyboard, please write us a nice letter, and maybe we'll read it on the air. And we'll be happy to do more of this in the future.
Yeah. And we'll probably bring the phone system back next week, 631-632-6901. I don't know why I told you the number, but you can write it down and put it in a little note and put it in your pocket, and then next week you'll have it.
Well, if you want to call Finn, who's coming up after us, and ask him to play some of the most amazing music ever.
It is Finn's revolution.
He doesn't need you to tell him that, but maybe you can suggest some things as well. Hey, we have some music about refugees, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Are you ready for it?
I'm ready for it.
All right. Hey, have a great night, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Good night. One, two.
Hey kids, it's Finn, Finn's Revolution, until the 9 p.m. hour right here. Nothing but music all night tonight, so stay tuned. Our special guest DJ, George Rudolph, is going to be sitting in on a little bit of tunes and hang out. Stay cool, baby, stay cool.
Me with a down in Candyland. Candy says.